We're doing Gemara Rosh Hashanah, and we're up to the Daf Lamed Aleph Amud Aleph, the top of the page. Tanya, we have a Braisa. Rabbi Yehuda Omer Mishum Rabbi Akiva. Rabbi Yehuda is a Talmid of Rabbi Akiva's, but this is something he did not hear directly because it's Mishum in the name of Rabbi Akiva. He didn't hear it directly from his Rabbi Rabbi Akiva. Berishon Mayu Omerim. We said the Levim had different songs for every day of the week. So what did they say on the first day? Hashem Haaretz Umlo'ah, Hashem has all of earth. They'd say that whole chapter. Al Shem Shekana, because Hashem was Kone, heaven and earth. Vehikna, and he gave over. Kana, the question is how you translate here the word Kana. Hashem is called Kone Shemayim Va'aretz. So, if Kana means to purchase, then you got a problem. If kana could also mean a verb of creation, to create a kinyan, so then you're better off. So, however, we'll translate that, vihikna, and he gave over all of the land to its inhabitants. Rashi here seems to address the issue. Rashi says, "Vehikna tevel liyoshevei va, klomar, kone kedei laknot." So, somehow Rashi seems to be telling us an answer. I don't know what the answer is.
Yeah. In order to give over, he has to first acquire. He has to do a kinyan even though...
I don't know if kone comes from the word kinyan. Rashi, for some reason, will often use the word in defining itself. And somehow we're supposed to understand what the definition is. I don't know.
What is he saying? That he was on Yom Rishon?
Yes.
Who was he giving it to? There's no one here.
Okay.
The angels on
the road. Right? So that's a good question. Hashem Shekana, Vehikna, Veshalit Bolamo, says Rashi, Yechidi, Shalom Nivro Malachim Ad Yom Sheni. That was your point? He's alone. He's the master of everything. So that's why Rashi says, Kana vihikna doesn't mean he did the hikna on that day. He was kana in order to be makne. Kone kidei lehaknot. But Rashi was bothered by that. Who are you giving it to?
So
I would have said differently, but to say that. We have a concept in halacha. There are two concepts. So you could have a situation of a minor, a katan, who has no capacity to be kone. He can't acquire anything, but if you have dat achelt makna, if someone else has the intent of giving it over to him, it becomes his. He can't acquire, but you could give it to him nonetheless. You also have a concept of relinquishing your own ownership when you make something hefker. You're not giving it to anyone, you're relinquishing your own. Okay, so somewhere along those lines, I'd say maybe lehaknot could mean something along those lines. Okay, it deserves a longer discussion. Why can't you be maknet davar shelo ba la'olam? If you had a way of really controlling that it would be ba la'olam, would you be able to be maknet? Hashem has control, so... maybe by him he could be makne davar shelo ba la'olam, or lid davar shelo ba la'olam. Okay, whatever. Rashi seems to say it's not he was makne that day, but rather kana v'ikna goes together. He was kone shamayim v'aretz in order to be makne shamayim v'aretz, but the actual makne did not happen that day. Fine. Bashini mayu omrim. What did the Levim sing on the second day? Gadol Hashem umulal meod al Shem. Shechilek Ma'asav Umalach Alehim. Because what does it say? Shechilek Ma'asav, he divided the heavens and he left the upper spheres for himself. So that's Gadol Hashem Umulal Meod. Vashlishi, what does the Bach change here? V'nitala v'yashav b'marom. So the Bach adds that point. בשלישי היו אומרים אלוקים ניצב בעדת כל. That chapter. על שם Shegila Eretz b'chokhmato v'chin tevel la'adatu. In his vast wisdom, he revealed the earth and he prepared the world to be lived in. Says Rashi, Shegila Eretz mekom mitzav adato shneimar v'terei hayabasha. V'shlishi neimar. Okay.
What is adato?
His congregation.
Like
Adam. So the question is, why over here? What's the importance of Hashem's Eidah, Hashem's congregation, specifically on the third day, specifically in the creation of earth, and the heavens were not, for his Eidah?
His Eidah is people.
So who is his Eidah? I thought his Eidah was Am Yisrael. Right, but I'm talking about the lower heaven, the Maim Tachtonim. When on the second day Hashem divided the heavens to the upper waters and the lower waters, so that lower waters, that wasn't for Adato. Why is it by Eretz that it goes for Adato? Okay, fine. And it seems that the Medrash, the Gemara's Medrash is learning Mitzav Ba'adat Ken, that Hashem was Mitziv. Hashem made a place to stand for Adat Kel. I think it works differently. I think that from the Medrash it would seem that the first dry land to appear was Eretz Yisrael, which works with the Gemara that Eretz Yisrael is above all other land. And that although when we go into outer space, right now it seems to us like it's a sphere and everything's turning and everything's, go figure where the top and bottom is. You might say the North Pole, but then again, if you're standing on the South Pole, then the South Pole certainly seems like the top to you. And so long as you're within the galaxy, it's hard to know. And you can never leave the system in order to know what's up and what's down.
Okay, but not sure what you're saying, but is this taking into account the height of the different lands above sea level?
No.
That's not important.
I don't think so, because if you say
the waters receded and the land appeared.
Right, so it could be that when the land appeared, so the land mass, the land, you had land masses forming, called volcanic activity, call it whatever you want, and you have, imagine a situation where you have something peak out, and then other things start waving out of it, some higher, some lower, but you have a peak from which all the water starts pouring down, and then you have other places that start rising as you go along Earth, and water's receding from different places as they go down. But that would explain the perspective of Eretz Yisrael Gvah Mikol HaRatzot. That in the formation, you had, called from the center of the Earth, you had Earth forming and rising, and waters flowing down, and the pinnacle of where it started, where the water started flowing down, is Eretz Yisrael. So the fact that afterwards, as it flowed, some lands are higher than sea level, lower than sea level.
Yeah. How do you think if the top was there to sell, and other lands came out of that, how did they become higher than there to sell? Were they growing after they appeared?
Who said they're higher? It depends on your perspective. From sea level, you're measuring, okay. So when you're looking at a sphere, and you don't know where the top of the sphere is because it's moving all the time, so you don't know what the top is. It could be that when everything was formed, Earth wasn't rotating yet. There was no sun. Earth was one place, standing. And then you had Eretz Yisrael come up. The water's receding. And then the Earth starts making waves, and different parts of the Earth start jutting out. And it could be Eretz Yisrael was on top, whatever top is. top really depends on where you're standing.
Top doesn't necessarily mean the highest. It could be at the top of the sphere, but more ingrained into the surface.
Could be.
That's what I'm saying. That even if it was the top, even if it was the top of the sphere, it was the first thing to pop out, it doesn't necessarily mean it's going to be the highest.
Fine. Say that too.
So I'm asking, how is it that it, if it came out and it was the highest, because from it all the things flowed down, how did it become beneath other things, beneath all the other lands?
That's why I said the other lands came out as waves, because they had to start protruding over the water too. It wasn't just Eretz Yisrael coming up and everything else coming down from it.
Other things came up from themselves?
I don't know how it worked. It could be that Eretz Yisrael came up and pulled everything else up with it. And that was the first point, so to speak, that was sucked up. And then everything else. But again, it depends on how the sphere looked back then. It's not clear even that the land masses were separate yet.
Okay.
At this point. Okay.
But assumingly the heights were roughly the same, no?
I
mean,
I don't know. That would also explain the medrash about veins coming out of Eretz Yisrael. There are veins of nutrients on a physical and on a spiritual level that all come out of the Kodesh HaKodashim, because that was the first point that was Eretz, and everything else, what came out of that?
On a physical level also?
Yeah. That's what it says, that you could grow everything in Eretz Yisrael. You just have to find where you could tap into that vein. And at the Dora Mabul, the first generations used to be able to taste the soil and know what you could plant there. They knew how to find those veins and plant right there. This is where you plant avocado. This is where you plant, and based on that, they'd have all the things that grow best in other places in the world, they could grow here, because they knew where the veins were coming. Okay. There's another idea here that needs to be worked out. We say that at Matan Torah, Am Yisrael came back to the Madrega of Adam Arishon, right? Adam Lifnei Achet. So is Adam Lifnei Achet a Jew?
Doesn't the Kuzri say that the Sigula was started from Adam Arishon and passed down?
Right. So even so, but he gives Noach the Sigula. And Noach is not a Jew. The Gemara and Brachos.
Yeah, they're not Jews yet, but they have this source of
no. I'm saying something else.
Okay.
We say, the Navi Yechezkel says, Adam Atim. Yeah? Atim kuyim Adam, then umot olam kuyot Adam. The Gemara says that they're not called Adam. Well, Tosus points out they could be called Ha-Adam. Other commentaries point out they could be called Ben-Adam. But Adam is only Am Yisrael. Okay? That's based on a pasuk in Yechezkel. In the Medrash in Pirkei Rabbi Eliezer, I think the 12th chapter, when it discusses creation, so there's a mashma'ut, there seems to be an indication that Adam HaRishon was Adam. He was on that madrega, the madrega of Am Yisrael, which makes sense. Chazal say at Matan Torah, pasukazu amatan. That's when they came back full circle to where Adam HaRishon was.
What does it mean, Am Yisrael?
Am Yisrael was given the Torah. So there's a concept of Yisrael. There's a concept of Am Hashem that has a Torah, that has a Madrega of being Adam. V'itam nisgula michol ha'amim.
Like a chosen...
It's not only chosen. It's given a different neshama. It's given a different task in the world. It's on a different level, like the Kuzari says. Something else. The capacity for Nevuah, it's a lot of things. Adam Rishon, it could very well be, is on the same madriga as Am Yisrael. And it could be that before the Chet, meaning if it will go back to the master plan of creation, the whole world could have been on that madriga. And then Adato doesn't have to mean Am Yisrael. Adato could mean the Eidah that could have come forth from Adam and Chava. Because it's a little strange. You're going to say, Elokim nitzav ba'adat kel, adat kel, Hashem is forming earth for Am Yisrael. You could say it.
You
could say it. They're righteous for Am Yisrael who's righteous. En ba'ya, you could say it. But you could also say the other way. That Elokim nitzav ba'adat kel is not, it didn't have to be. You see that the Navi describes repeatedly that there will come a time when everyone's going to come up to Yerushalayim. All the nations will come bring korbanos. So there does seem to be an angle where that's where the world's supposed to be headed.
They're not going to be Jewish.
Who told you they're not going to be Jewish?
It doesn't say they're going to be Jewish. It says the Goyim are going to come up and bring Korbanot.
Okay.
And we talk about this all the time. After Mashiach, there's no Giyur after Mashiach.
Learn the Sugya completely.
Okay.
And then compare it to the Tosus and Ksubis, and then we'll talk. It's not the, you know, Tosus and Ksubis says, the Gemara equates it with the period of David HaMelech, where they didn't, but they did accept Gerim in the period of David and Shlomo. So they were Gerim Grurim. They weren't the best Gerim in the world. But there's a big discussion in Tosus. What does that mean? Beis Din Shel Hedyotos were Megayer them. What Beis Din Shel Hedyotos? You don't need the Lishkas Agazis to be Megayer them. So the top court didn't want to be Megayer them. But what does that mean? So we won't accept Gerim, but will we have the same thing as in the days of Shlomo and David, that you'll have Beis Din Shel Hedyotos who will accept them?
What indication do we have that everyone's going to be Jewish?
Okay, so join our classes in Yeshaya and Yechezkel, and there's a chamber, we'll explore it. Back to the Gemara. Let's see, it says, as Yom Ruva Goyim Igdir Hashem Asot Imeila, it says the nations will all then, Lo Rav Lo Lechem Lo Tzoma Lamayim Kim Nishmo As Divrei Hashem. The Navi in Zechariah discusses that they're going to come and want to learn Torah. Okay, what does it mean learn Torah from us? What does that mean?
They want to connect to Hashem.
Okay, so you're saying it'll remain at that level. Okay, maybe. We'll learn. We'll learn. We'll see. ברבי היו אומרים כל נקמות השם על שם שברא חמה ולבנה ועתיד ליפרה מעובדיהן. On the fourth day, they used to say Kel Nekamot Hashem, because Hashem created the sun, the moon, and Hashem will ultimately pay back those that worship them. So Kel Nekamot. Boy, okay. B'chamishi ayu umrim Haninu Lelokim Uzeinu. This is something that needs to be worked on. What does that mean? Hashem doesn't care. Hashem doesn't care. He's not jealous of the sun and the moon.
Right.
Okay, so the word lipara literally means to collect the debt, which seems to mean a concept that we see repeatedly in Chazal, that there's a system Hashem created in the world. There's a justice system that has to be met. And the sinner has to be paid. So for whatever reason, there's a debt that has to be paid. That's a little different than what we say. Kel nekamot Hashem. God takes revenge. For who? Who's revenge? He cares. Okay, so we use those terms. Okay. B'chamishi ayu umrim, aninu lelokim uzeinu. It's so frustrating. This guy keeps saying okay and doesn't explain. B'chamishi ayu umrim, aninu lelokim uzeinu. One day we'll get to explore all these things. Al shem shebara ofot v'dagim neshabeach lishmo. So, on the fifth day, Harninu gives song lelukim to the potent one, Uzenu, our strength, because then he created the birds and the fish, and that's to give praise. So Rashi doesn't say open up Perek Shira and see the praise they give. Rashi says, if you look at the beautiful and the variety of birds and fish, so then you'll give praise. So it seems that when it comes to birds and fish, there's more variety than animals. Okay? So that's supposed to arouse us to sing praise. Interesting. Because when the Rambam says you want to sing praise to Hashem, he says, look at the stars. He doesn't say, go look at the birds and fish. Maybe because you can't see all the birds and fish at once. Today we have zoos. Okay. Bashishi ayu omrim, Hashem malach geut lavesh, Hashem wears glory, al Shem shegamar melachto malach aleim. He finished his work and was king over them. Whatever that means. Bashvi ayu omrim, Mizmor shir liyom haShabbat, liyom shekulo Shabbat. Today, that is all Shabbos. Says Rashi, she'atid ha'olam liyot charev. We're singing about a day when the world will be destroyed. What's there to sing about? Ve'en adam, there'll be no humanity. End of time. V'chol hamlachot shovitot al oto yom omrim shir shel Shabbat. Okay, so we're singing about that day. But then what's the purpose of creation? For it to end? For there to be nothing? For there to be quiet? Then why did Hashem create this whole world?
Anyway, he's saying that there's not going to be any person, and there's not going to be malachas, and on that day they're going to sing Shabbat.
That's the song we're singing about. When we say Mizmor Shir Liyom HaShabbat, our song of Shabbos is about La'atid lavo liyom shekulo Shabbat umnuchal chayei olamim.
It's difficult to understand. First of all, you have to picture, fit that in with the purpose of creation. I mean, how does that work exactly? Or what?
Perfection, that's it. You don't need man anymore.
Yeah,
perfect. Game over. Right. Okay. So we're getting closer, though. Now we have the weapons to do it with. I'm serious.
Does destroyed necessarily have to be destroyed like destruction or like atomic bombs?
I guess we'll find out. But if we're not here, it really doesn't matter to us if it's 1,000 years or 1,000,000 years. Whatever.
Right.
Okay. And but we sing about it.
Where is Tfiyat HaMitin in all this?
Right. That's the big question. Where is Tfiyat HaMitin? Rashi says in other places that Tfiyat HaMitin is after that thing.
After it.
Think so. I think that's what Rashi
says. Makes sense. Everyone's dead and then two people will come back.
Okay. Fine. Whatever. I'm not sure it makes a huge difference to us. The only question is, why are we singing about it? So it seems like it might be bad for us, but in terms of the world, there's something right about it. Something to sing about. You'll notice that the focus of the song of Mizmor Shir Liyom HaShabbat is Bifru HaChesheim Kmo Esev. Look at the wicked, they're successful. You could still sing. Why? Because it's all over in the end anyways. No, that's not why. Because we don't understand. The fool doesn't understand. Doesn't understand Li Shamdam HaDeyad, that they will be destroyed. But we won't. And so even though they're successful now, at the end it's Li Shamdam HaDeyad. Okay, so something about it is the fact that there's more to come. It's not over. And so you can contend with the difficulties you see now because Oyvecha Yoveidu, Hashem's enemies will be lost ultimately. Tzadik Katama Yifrach, and the Tzadik will flourish. Okay. Amar Rabbi Nechemya. So, now that we finished this, which is basically a Mishnah in Talmud, everything we quoted here.
Really?
Yeah, the Mishnah in Talmud brings all this. Amar Rabbi Nechemya, So v'chimara Rabbi Akiva lechalek min apakim alalu. So Rabbi Nechemia comes around and says, why did Rabbi Akiva divide up these chapters? 6 days you're singing about the past, and Shabbos you're singing about the future. Why? Ela. Huh?
The question is, why did he make one day about the future?
Six days about the past, about creation, and Shabbos, you're not talking about the Shabbos of creation, you're talking about the future. So the truth is that, okay, let's hear him out. Ela barishon shekanav iknav shalit bolamo. Same thing. Bashini shechlek masav malach aleim. Same thing. Here the Bach sticks in something. Venitalav yashav bamarom. Same thing. Yeah, same thing he's talking before. Bashlishi shegila eretz b'chokhmato v'echin tevel adato. Same thing. Barvi shebrach amav v'levana v'atib libram avdin. B'chamishin shebrach avpot v'digim neshabach lishmo. Bashlishi shegma malachto malach aleim. So far, so good. Till here, he hasn't disagreed with anything. Bashvi'i al shem sheshabbat. Oh. But on the seventh day, not like Rabbi Akiva said, but rather we say Mizmor Shir L'Yom HaShabbat over the fact that Hashem finally rested. Their machlokis is whether we go like Rav Katina or not. Rav Nechemia does not go like Rav Katina, and Rabbi Akiva obviously does. Dama Rav Katina. Shita al peshane have alma. Rav Katina says the world's around for 6,000 years. Meaning, Hashem didn't build this world forever. It has an expiration date. And then you have 1,000 years of destruction. Shenemar, v'nisgav Hashem levado, v'yomu. Amar Rabbaye, trei charuv. Abaye says the world's going to be destroyed for 2,000 years. Shenemar, yechayenu, miyomayim. Oh, you see? Hashem will bring us back to life after 2 days. So Rav Nechemia doesn't agree with Rav Katina. He holds like Abaye, that there are going to be 2,000 years of destruction. So what are you singing about Yom, Mizmor Shir L'Yom HaShabbat, the day? It's not a day, it's 2 days. 2,000 years. Okay? So that's why he doesn't learn that pshat. B'musfei Shabbat Mayu Umrim. On the Musaf, what song would the Levim sing? Amar Ravanan Barava, Amar Rav, Haziv Lach. Okay, they'd sing the following song. So Haziv Lach. Look at Rashi. Parshat Shirat. Hazinu chulkim ota l'shisha pakim. Harishon hazinu. Hashini zchorim otolam. Hashlishi yakiveu ol mamut yaretz. Revi'i vayar Hashem aynatz. Ad kan shisha psukim leperek. Till here you've had hazinu broken down to six components where we haven't yet gotten up to six. But four components, six psukim each. Mikan veilach shmona psukim leperek. Hachamishi lulei kasu yevagu. Shishi kiyadin Hashem amu. So that's how he divides it for the Musaf.
What is this note in the middle of the Gemara?
This is Tosus.
Tosus?
Says Tosus. Haziv lach. Hazinu zchor yakiveu vayar lulei kiyadin. Ken ketu besrim vechen presh bekuntus vechen aminag. Uvmasechet sofrim ktiv vayishman lo. Verach piresh vayar lo. Okay, what's that vav in the ziv lach and the vav in lamit? Is it vayishman or is it vayar? Okay.
I didn't
know Rav Chanan barav amarav kederech shechalukim kan kachalukin bebet haKnesset. The way we just told you how they divide the song of Hazinu, that's how you lane the six aliyos in Shul, and the seventh one reads from there on. So that's very interesting, because here you have a source for the idea that there's some order to how you divide the aliyos. Because some people say, where do you get this order from? The printers. You see here, no, there was. Chazal did seem to say how to divide up the parashios.
Going back, the breakup of Hazinu, that was, they said all of that on the Musaf of Shabbat?
No, so each week they'd say a different segment of it. They'd have a cycle of six. Each week they'd say a different segment of Shiras Hazinu. 6 days psukim per week and then back again. Back to the Gemara. What they say on the Mincha of Shabbos in the Beit HaMikdash. Amar Rabbi Yochanan, Az Yashir, Umi Chamocha, Ve'az Yashir. Az Yashir, till Mi Chamocha, from Mi Chamocha till the end of the Shira, and Az Yashir Yisrael, to Shira Zot Limor, Ali Be'erin Ula, Be'er Chafaru Asarim, that's another song. Ibai Elohu. I think that's in Chukas, maybe?
But whose song is that?
What do you mean? That's another Shira that the Torah records.
Is it? Whose song?
That Am Yisrael sang when the Be'er would appear, when they'd came. So they'd sing. As Yeshua said, the Shira Zot Lemor, Ali Be'er, Enula. Call out to the Be'er, Ali Be'er, Ali Be'er, comma, Enula. You should call out to the Be'er, Ali Be'er. Be'er, Chafaru Asarim, Koro Ani Dve'am, Mimpokek Mimshanotam.
And again, this is one of these three things every week. You're going through these weeks.
I think so, yeah. Mm-hmm. They had a 3-week cycle on that. Ibailus, the Gemara asks, Hani kulu b'chad Shabbat amri lu, dim hakol Shabbat v'Shabbat amri chad. Would they say one of these each Shabbos, or they'd say them all at once? Your question. Tashma detani, amar b'yosi, ad sharishna omer tachad, shnia chuzeret shtayim. Shma mina, kol Shabbat v'Shabbat amri chad. Shma mina, Rabbi Yossi said, you see, the first one has 6 components. The second one has 3 components. By the time you finished one cycle in the Musaf, you'd finish 2 cycles in the Mincha. So you see that every Shabbos, they'd say one of these. Every Shabbos, they'd say one segment. And then in 6 weeks, both, each. One component of Musaf, one component of Mincha. And then in 6 weeks, you finish one cycle for Musaf and 2 cycles for Mincha. Because Mincha has 3 components. And Musaf has 6.
Wait, so he's saying that because 3 divide into 6 evenly, so it was 1 every week, and not all of it every week.
He's not saying that's why. He's saying from the Braisa, where Rav Yossi says that this is the correlation, the correspondence, the ratio is like this. So from that Braisa, we can infer that what they meant to say is one component each week. The Braisa, we're inferring it from the Braisa.
Because the ratio is 1 to 2.
Yeah. If Rav Yossi is saying that by the time you finish this, you finish that, so then obviously he means that they did it over the course of the 6 weeks. It doesn't work if they did all of them in 1 week, so then.
Why not? And it's 1 to 1.
Right, okay. But here you said it's 2 to 1. Rav Yossi says, okay, so that's why it doesn't work. That's why you can't be that every Shabbos they did all the components for both. Because then it would be 1 to 1.
Yeah. So
and Rav Yossi said it's 2 to 1. Rav Yossi said, by the time you finished the Musaf components, you finished the Mincha components twice.
He said that's in the Braisa?
Yeah, Detanya, Amar Rav Yossi HaTrishna Omer Tachat, by the time the first group, meaning the Musaf group, finishes one cycle, Shnia Chuzer Tshtayim. The Mincha group finishes 2 cycles. Shema minak, Shabbat v'Shabbat, Amri chad, Shema minak. Mar says, it's a good proof, yeah. Now notice that Rashi goes over to the left-hand column. Amar v'Yudna, Bar Idi, Amar v'Yochanan. Oh, very famous Raisa from Avos Rabbi Nosson. Eser masaot nasea shechina mikrai. From the verses, we can infer that the Shechina traveled 10 journeys, and uchenigdan galatasa nedrin migmara. And corresponding to the 10 journeys of the Shechina, the Sanhedrin also traveled 10 times, and that we have on tradition. Eser masaot nasa Shechina. We're out of time. We'll pick up here, Bezrat Shem, tomorrow.